You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, positively perfect and perky podcast patrons and pals. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 44, and I'm your humble host, Karen. And we are your sassy suspects, sussing out Sasquatch and Sarsaparilla suspense. What?
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And today is our best of 2012 show. It's our last show of the year.
That's right. Yeah. We're doing a clip show.
We're here to celebrate and highlight the best, the weirdest, the funniest, and the poopiest moments from Good Job Brain this year. And, you know, we're just four silly pub trivia nerds who are nuts about weird facts, secret histories, and trivia nuggets. So we're really glad that we get to share our passion with the world. And before we start the show, I want to quickly thank our listeners and fans for all of your support and feedback, all of our initial Kickstarter backers from last year who helped make this happen, and of course, special thanks to men's outfitter Bonobos, our main sponsor. Awesome clothes by awesome people. You guys at Bonobos truly are good people, and we want to thank you guys for partnering with us and believing in us. It's a match made in pun-loving heaven. And we know we're just a little indie hobby podcast, but all you guys keep us going, and we appreciate it so much. So today's show is all about celebrating the greatest 2012 moments of Good Job Brain. We had 43 episodes. This is episode 44. More than 350 different segments.
Crazy.
I started counting the questions, like the trivia questions. They have too many. I don't even have a number. Ranging from silly to challenging quizzes, mind-blowing facts, juicy histories and origins about everything from urinals to cheddar cheese to pooping duck robots. And we've enlisted the help of our listeners on Facebook and Twitter to help us curate some of our best moments. And if you're a Good Job Brain listener, we invite you to travel back in time and laugh with us, laugh at us. And if you're a new listener, you sure are in for a treat. So we always start the show with our general trivia segment called Pop Quiz Hotshot. And this is when I choose a random Trivial Pursuit card from a box. And part of the fun is that Trivial Pursuit can be hit or miss.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's super easy and sometimes it's super, super hard. So here are some of the best and worst questions we ever got. All right, Yellow Wedge. What 18th century invention did its creator claim worked so quickly the subject would feel nothing but a refreshing coolness?
Lobotomy.
Incorrect, but close.
That would be the guillotine.
Yes, guillotine.
Feel minty fresh.
Yeah, that was the first ad campaigns for guillotine, yeah. the refreshing cool
it's like,
maker.
Yeah,
why would I want to pay for this?
What 1996 hit song was criticized because its lyrics are examples of simple bad luck rather than the literary device described by the song's title? Chris.
That would be Ironic by Alanis Morissette.
Correct. Yes.
Which I prefer to think is her elaborate meta statement.
It is.
Like, it's ironic that her song contains no actual examples of irony. She doesn't get enough credit.
No, Alanis.
So clever. Let's see. Green Wedge for science. What two bodily fluids did International Space Station astronauts start converting into drinkable water in 2009?
I'm sorry, two bodily fluids?
Two
bodily fluids.
Urine.
Correct.
Right.
Spit.
I was going to guess saliva as well.
I was going to guess tears.
No.
Sweat?
Correct.
Sweat.
I'm like, all right, okay.
Sweat.
Sweat and urine. What arcade game was inspired by a pizza with a slice missing from it?
Pac-Man.
Yes, it is Pac-Man.
That is sort of true. It's sort of true and not true. In recent years, when they asked the creator of Pac-Man, he's like, well, that is what I said, so let's just go ahead and say that that's what it was.
That's no fun. And Pac-Man was originally called
Puck Man.
Puck Man.
Yes.
Yes. Very fortunate they changed it to Pac.
Yes.
Puck Man. Peak. Yes.
Yeah. Test those pop filters.
That urban legend is absolutely true. I mean, the American company was like, no, you have to change it because vandals are going to erase part of the P and change it to a different letter.
Oh. Buckman.
Buckman.
Yeah, Buckman.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of sandwich is slang for a punch?
A knuckle sandwich.
Yes, what a weird question. Why is this in Trivial Pursuit?
You gotta know your English idioms.
Yeah.
Knuckle sandwich.
Or your 1920s gangster slang. Yeah.
Blue Wedge Geography. In what country might you enjoy as a delicacy a corn fungus called Cuitlacoche?
Mexico.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I want to explain this a little bit. This is one of those things. This is on my list of things that you should not Google image search. Because it's basically a fungus that infects corn and turns these kernels into like elephant man-ish giant bumpy kernels and black. It looks like evil corn. Like if there was like a Satan possessed corn, it would look like this.
You're right. It does.
Frank corn style.
Yeah.
Franken corn. All right. Pop culture. Pink Wedge. What superhero shares a name with a popular Black Sabbath song?
Iron Man.
Correct.
That question was so easy, I couldn't even do it. I was like, what?
Is it a trick question?
Yes. One of my favorite trivia challenges was when we stumbled upon a cache of trivia cards from the 80s.
The Topps trivia cards?
Yes. There were two vintage things in there. There was vintage trivia and vintage gum.
Yes.
I don't know what possessed us, Chris, but I think we decided it would be a good idea to put the gum in our mouths.
I think we opened the package up and I said, let's eat the gum on air.
Yeah.
And we did. And this is what transpired.
Trivia battle game. It's in wax paper. It's right here in front of me, sealed, and it's from 1984.
Yep, nice.
Mm-hmm. In each pack, there are 9 cards, 1 sticker, and 1 stick of bubble gum.
So if my math is right,
that means this piece of gum is 28 years old.
Yep.
Yes, yes.
Chris said he was going to eat it, by the way.
I said I was going to eat it, but then I thought maybe just the loser should eat the gum.
I think the loser. Same sort of agree. The loser has to eat the gum.
I do not agree to these terms. Unless I win, and then it's fine.
Okay.
This is sealed. I'm going to open it right now. Hope you can hear the
While Karen opens this, I mean, one of the things that really tickles us is not only do we have to try and answer these questions, but we have to remember this is from a 1984 mindset.
Yeah.
So anything about politics or movie hits, or things like that. Right, we have to pretend.
All right, I'm just going to pick a random one.
Okay, all right. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. I guess they have categories. The red is, I guess, silver screen. Here we go. Oh, it's people. Who played Conan's girlfriend in the first movie? What is this referring? Like Conan the Barbarian?
It must be Conan the Barbarian. Well, was that Grace Jones?
Sandal Bergman.
Oh.
Or Grace Slick. Who? Wait, what?
Sandal Bergman.
All right.
Oh.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
All right, next question.
What is Supergirl's name on Earth?
Oh.
These are pretty
tough. These are questions that people in the 1980s would know.
I'm going to guess. Is it like Aurora or something?
Incorrect.
No. Well, She-Ra's name is Princess Adora, which meant...
It is.
Yeah. What is it?
Linda Lee.
Linda Lee. Did not know that. Okay.
Again, with the alliterative names for a comic book character. Linda Clark Lee. Kent.
Yeah.
So the orange one is High IQ. Mm. Who was the first pilot to fly faster than the speed of sound? Jeez.
It's Colin. Go for it.
I believe that was Chuck Yeager.
I believe so, too.
Correct. Okay. Captain Charles Yeager.
We call him Chuck now.
Yeah.
All right. What rock performer had hits with Jeopardy and the breakup song?
I mean, I know the Weird Al did the parody. Yeah, right. I lost on Jeopardy, yes, but I forget the name.
Our Loves in Jeopardy. I cannot retrieve that.
No.
It is Greg Kinn.
Oh, okay.
Well, now, having lost, I will eat the gum of shame.
All right, it was meant to be.
Are we going to split this?
I want to try some.
All right, Karen, break it in half.
Guys, this gum is 28 years old.
At least.
Okay, I'm just going to, chew it for a little while.
It's going to dissolve in your mouth.
All right.
Here we go.
That's my guess.
The live show.
Well, this is our last episode of Good Job, Brain.
Wow. <Yeah. laughs> It's dissolving in my mouth.
I told you I was going to dissolve.
Wow, it kind of just turned into a paste in my mouth.
It's falling apart and crumbling.
It is, yeah.
That gum is older than most of our listeners.
You know, I will give it that the flavor actually was like what I remembered, but it turned to like wallpaper paste as soon as the moisture hit it.
So if I had to say there was a through line or a recurring theme of our podcast, that would be poo. It would be poop. Or discharges from the anal regions of different animals.
More broadly speaking.
I think I'll widen the net a little bit. Here are some of our favorite moments of poo talk.
Just anything occurring in and around the
body. Yeah.
So my research to bizarre expensive food is also related to animals. And this one is called the Kopi Luwak coffee. And this type of coffee, which is known to be the world's most rare, smoothest, most flavorful, most awesomest coffee.
Does this involve something pooping the coffee?
It does.
That's the one.
You got it. It's about $300 per pound. And only 500 pounds of these beans are produced each year in Sumatra. Yep, you're right. There is a smallish foraging little tropical raccoon called the palm civet
civet.
That this little raccoon would look for the sweetest coffee fruit, or I guess coffee cherries. Mm-hmm. They would swallow the fruit whole.
Right.
And the animal in his stomach, they only digest the fleshy fruit part. So the undigested coffee beans pass through the system. And people collect the beans afterwards. Yeah. They clean it, of course. They roast and proceed.
Naturally.
Yes. Yeah. Proceed your usual coffee roasting ritual.
Now, the reason that they take them out of the poop as opposed to just grabbing as opposed to just grabbing off the bush, there's something, like, it changes the chemical composition, yeah. Right?
The little raccoons have this unique enzyme in their GI system. All the fruit is being digested, but these enzymes and acids penetrate through the coffee beans and neutralize the bitter oils in the beans. And it is said that it causes 25 otherwise unreachable flavors in the bean to be released during brewing. So I'm sure there've been
flavors are poop. Sharp.
So they're not farming it. This is how many raccoons live in the forest.
Yeah, so I don't know if they have just a bunch of pet raccoons sort of at bay and be like, feast, yeah. You guys. Today is the day.
Here you go, guys. Here's a bunch of newspapers. Go to your business. Yeah.
If they were friends, they would just force feed
them. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah.
It would be at Starbucks right now.
I like little raccoon newspapers.
Yeah, yeah. They're giving me a little bowl of coffee beans, a little tiny copy of Uncle John's bathroom reader. Yeah.
I'm imagining little tiny reading glasses on his nose. This is just another one of these foods that where I'm like, someone had to be the first one. Like, you know, like I believe that it is good coffee, but who, someone, you know what would make good coffee, Roger, is if we.
The cat poop didn't work out so great.
This was like number 9 in a series of animals that they had tried.
Like, this is definitely the best one so far. I don't know if it's the best, though.
It's like, should we keep going. I know, should we move on?
This is one of those stories that I didn't want to be true. I started by going to Snopes and the skeptic sites. I really wanted this one to have been disproven, but it was on Smoking Gun, and I actually found the original newspaper articles as well. So this is the Sherry Enema story, and Sherry Enema, not a stripper. Sherry Enema is a thing.
I think we went to high school
together.
That's
my new pseudonym.
Sherry
Enema to the main stage. Oh, yeah.
Yes, this was 2004. And Tammy Warner, she was arrested for administering a Sherry Enema to her husband.
That's love, also.
Poor Michael Warner. He had a really bad throat ailment, was also an alcoholic. His way of getting around his love of drinking and inability to drink down his throat was administering Sherry Enemas. Oh. And so he and she one night apparently administered 3 liters of Sherry.
Oh.
3 liters.
So much.
Unfortunately, and perhaps predictably, died of alcohol poisoning. And so she was essentially arrested for homicide, for facilitating his death, you know, knowing that he was an alcoholic, knowing that he had been prohibited from drinking. You know, when you're drinking normally, when you get drunk or pass out, you stop consuming. When you're absorbing alcohol through that method, you pass out, but it continues to absorb into your system.
Imagine if he wasn't married and he's just a single dude, like, and he would have to call up his buddies to ask them to give him a sherry.
Hey, man, I need a favor. I'm not helping you move again, Michael. No, I'm not moving. Amazing.
Ew. Did she go to jail for it?
She did not get charged. The charges were dismissed. She was charged, but she was not convicted. The charges were dismissed. They essentially, you know, they found it a little just too kind of a gray area that, you know, where do you draw the line?
It's actually more of a brown area.
Yes, the just the final note here. Apparently, his blood alcohol level was 0.47%, which is six times the level of being considered drunk.
Wow! Wow!
Yes. You know, it's Texas. Go big or stay home.
Stay home and give yourself a sherry enema. Do you know what castoreum is? It's a substance. And I'm going to say no. You guys don't know what that
is.
I'm going to guess it's something to do with castor beans. I don't know.
Castoreum is simply, and I'm going to say this as classy as possible, but these are not classy words. Anal beaver juice.
Oh.
What?
So castoreum is...
Is it like all the best things in the world come from the butts of little rodents?
It seems like it. Okay. So castoreum is a substance produced by the glands of a beaver located between the anus and genitals of a beaver. Huh. It is FDA approved. And what you use castoreum for is to highlight specifically vanilla flavoring and raspberry flavoring.
Okay.
And so butt juice from a beaver
makes raspberry and vanilla flavored things taste a lot
better.
I like
the flavor profiles.
The synergy of the two flavors.
In addition, not only is it approved by the FDA, they don't have to call it castoreum or anal beaver juice.
They workshopped anal beaver juice. It just did not test.
They sold it in giant cans at Costco, and just nobody bought it.
Mm-hmm. So they're officially referenced simply as natural flavoring. That's on everything. So when you're reading the ingredients list, and it says natural flavoring. And you're,
it could be
anal beaver juice.
Right.
I'm gonna
assume
from now on it does mean that. But it's raspberry vanilla flavor. It's not even
raspberry
like
jam
flavor. Like you'd imagine it in a hot dog or something. It's in the ice cream.
Just imagine when you're taking that bite of that delicious raspberry ice cream sundae, just fluids expressing themselves mightily like Old Faithful from that mysterious area between the anus and the genitals of a beaver.
Again, I wonder how do they discover this?
That's true.
You know, I think
so
it is.
I was down there for something else.
You know what? It's like I was sleeping with my mouth open. And a beaver walked by
with some raspberries
and sprayed it in, and it just tasted horrible until I ate a raspberry off a nearby tree, and it just made the flavor pop.
Yeah. Mwah. What can I add to this raspberry to make it taste better? Oh, I know.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
But I do want to talk about a particular mushroom. And when you think of the kind of quintessential wild mushroom from storybooks and stuff, how would you describe it? What do you picture?
The like white stalk, the red cap top with the little white dots all over it.
Exactly. Right. So that mushroom has a lot of names. There's fly amanita and fly agaric, basically.
The original kind of Super Mario mushroom.
These are poisonous. And they can be deadly. And I think scientists have stated that a fatal dose is about 15 caps.
Okay.
So you can eat a lot of them. So you can eat a whole salad before you die.
What's interesting about this mushroom is it is very popular among reindeers.
Okay.
Reindeers go nuts for these mushrooms. Huh. And let me kind of backtrack a little bit. They're the Sami people, S-A-M-I, and they're indigenous people from the very, very northern parts
Lapland,
of...
right?
Yep, Lapland, Sweden, Norway, Finland. Mm. Very, very cold. The Sami traditions or the Lap traditions and beliefs are based on a lot of kind of a shamanistic spirituality. And they also have a great working relationship with reindeers that are also indigenous to those parts of the land. Very hardy animals and very cute. And they're used for dragging carriages, for everything.
Mm-hmm. And delivering presents.
Delivering presents, yes. way back, there was a tradition where a lot of people noticed that the native reindeers go bonkers over these mushrooms.
Oh.
These bright red, white spotted mushrooms. And these are the fly agaric mushrooms. And the deers even go hunting for them through the snow. Like, they can spot it and they can smell it.
So the reindeer are drug addicts.
Yes. Now, there isn't concrete evidence supporting if the chemical compounds in the mushroom actually affect them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there have been reports that they prance a lot more.
Right. They really like Doritos.
Or it's like catnip. I mean, it's like they're attracted to it for some reason. Yeah. There's something pleasurable.
Could be the odor. Could be. We don't know. What can be scientifically proven is that the reindeer urine has drug-like chemical properties. Mm. So back in the day...
I think I see where this is going.
People drank reindeer pee to get high. And they do. They go into a trance. They have a trip.
Wow.
And perhaps even a vision. And it kind of coincides with their, you know, shaman beliefs, too. And there are also reports that, you know, after humans who ingest reindeer urine... or affected reindeer urine, their urine still has drug compounds too. Whoa. And the reindeers would then
sniff that out
right. and eat the snow where people pee.
As long it's as a beautiful, oh my, it's a, yeah. closed
it's a circle, son.
It's a beautiful,
the reindeer circle. Eat the mushrooms, and then we drink their pee, and then we pee on the ground, and the reindeer eat our pee.
The circle
of life!
It's beautiful.
In its own way. So now, if you were to eat the mushrooms, they would kill you. But so if you want to eat the mushrooms, just filter it through a reindeer first.
Yes.
It's the reindeer like Brita.
That's my takeaway. Yeah.
The reindeer is your drug Brita.
Yeah.
So, in addition to being trivia nerds, we are all word nerds, and occasionally we stretch the boundaries of this show to do some wordplay and language games and language puzzles, and we even had our good friend Tyler Hinman, five-time national crossword puzzle champion on the show once. Here is a collection of some of our favorite word-based trivia from this past year.
What about you, Tyler?
I'm going to bring to you, if you haven't heard it yet, this is Will Shortz's favorite word. Will Shortz being the crossword editor of the New York Times. He always says this is his favorite word. I'm going to pass it on here. The word is Ucalegon.
Oh.
That's Ucalegon. And that was the name of an elder of Troy whose house was set ablaze during the sacking of Troy. And now it means the ultra useful term, a neighbor whose house is on fire.
Oh, sure, nice. Sure. Not whose house has been set on fire.
Right? On fire. That's more general. Okay. It's easier to use.
The conflagration is sufficient.
Yeah. So it's the person.
Yes.
You're describing the person who's house.
It sounds like a bath gel.
Ucalegon.
Ucalegon, take me away. I have a gross word. I found a very awesome word.
Go on.
It's changed my life.
We like gross things. All right.
It's called snarge.
Has to be a discharge of some kind.
He was the little character on Thundercats, right? Snarge?
Snarf.
Oh,
snarf.
You got a little snarge right here.
Yeah.
Okay. So snarge is what happens when a plane and a bird come together.
In not so harmonious terms, I trust.
It's the bird smoothie part.
Oh, my God.
Snarge.
Oh dear. So I'm just going to guess this word was named by pilots and not by the birds.
Well, it was named by people who work in museums and like have to prepare the birds for display.
Snarge.
Yeah. That's a good one. This include beaks or no? Those thrown clear.
Snafu and discharge. Snarge.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
I like it. There are
There are many words in the English language that end with the letters M, A, and N, so I will describe the superhero, and you will tell me what that superhero is, and of course, the superhero's name is going to be just a word in the English language that ends with the letters.
That is fun!
I think I understand.
Now, a lot of these, it's going to be like the letters M, N, N are there because that means, it actually does mean man. For example, if I were to say, I'm going to give you the tagline off of this superhero's comic book that I see. If I were to say, he'll make your head ring, it's Spellman.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. All right. And of course, the answer does not count unless you say it like Spellman.
Enthusiasm is part of the correct answer.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Okay. He fights for truth, justice, and saving bachelors from how to learn how to use an oven. He's
the woman. Oh, the foreman.
Hey, can you help him find the dining hall? It's
the freshman.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. His secret power: relaxing on a group of tropical islands owned by the British.
Jamaica man.
Bahaman.
No.
Oh.
That was good.
That was good.
Cayman.
Cayman Island. Oh.
His eyes shoot beams of sauerkraut.
German.
What? Beams of sauerkraut? They have to have special sauerkraut goggles to cover it.
He's three balls of ice cold fury.
The snow.
He's Snowman.
Yes. Yeah.
So dumb.
It's one for you, 19 for him.
He is, of course, the tax man.
Yay!
Yes, in spirit of the late George Harrison.
Yes.
Oh, that's why Beatles.
We're like, what? Oh, my face hurts. So, it's good. This is a pretty popular pub quiz thing. I'm pretty happy that we're doing this and kind of inspired by our sponsor, Bonobos. And I'm going to call this segment Bunch of Bonobos. We here love collective nouns of animals.
Love them.
Because they're so weird. Some are maybe too good to be true.
I think a lot of them are very tongue-in-cheek when they were created.
Yeah, poetic, too.
Yeah, poetic. Yeah. They're so fun. We've shared before in previous episodes, a group of cats is actually a clowder of cats. And also a unicorn is a blessing of unicorn, though that is a little controversial.
I still think that one's dumb. I think the better, you know, or like a lot of people love, like, A Murder of Crows is a great one that a lot of people like.
So we all picked a few of our favorites. I tried to look up for bonobos, and there actually was not a collective noun for bonobos. So I think the bonobo scientist should decide on one. So
it's a sex cave.
Well, yeah.
an orgy of bonobos.
That's what it is. It's a Caligula of bonobos.
So the three I picked are rattlesnakes, jellyfish, and lobsters. Ooh. Oh, a group of rattlesnakes is called a Roomba. A Roomba.
A vacuum.
Wait, like the vacuum?
Like the dance.
Oh, like okay. A Roomba. Yeah, a Roomba.
R-U-M-B-A.
R-H-U-M-B-A. A Roomba.
Because they are wiggly.
They're dancing.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're very sensual animals.
Yes, they are, Colin.
Sure thing.
Why are you backing away, Dana?
Snakes are a sensual animal.
And a group of jellyfish is called a smack. Mm. A smack of jellyfish. I kind of just imagine like a jellyfish in my face.
Smacking at you.
Yeah. Fish. And a lobster. A group of lobster is called a risk. Ooh. A risk of lobsters.
You risk your hand when you put it in a risk of
could
lobsters?
Be. Risk of maybe. Lobsters,
you
could be.
Some risky bisque.
Oh, I like that. We should make a soup company.
And the store will be called Risky Bisque.
No, no one will buy that. It's like, is it contaminated? Who knows?
And some risky biscuits. That was good.
Well, I did some birds. I have an all-bird rundown here. Birds, they have the best names. An eagle. You guys know what a collection of eagles is? Is a
patriot.
A convocation.
I can imagine.
So
yeah.
Regal.
It is very regal.
A convocation of eagles.
A bunch of Sam the Eagles, like,
yeah.
In a room.
Yeah, just so proud and just upright somehow. Hmm. Pheasants is a bouquet of pheasants.
Ew.
I think that's sweet.
I just imagine like a bunch of dead birds like tied together.
With the cellophane wrapping around them.
And a ribbon.
You better get these in some water right away. But this was my favorite, though, for owls. A parliament of owls.
Oh, yes, I have heard that.
I love that. It just seems so appropriate.
Because they're wise.
Yeah, you just see them kind of sitting there in judgment of you.
I have some cutesy ones, too. A group of leopards is a leap. A leap of leopards. Spiders, a group of spiders. Do you know what that is?
A spackle of spiders.
Spasm of spiders.
It's a clutter of spiders. It makes sense. Like if you're cleaning out your garage and you have all that clutter, that's you move it, and then you find a bunch of spiders. You're like, right. It's a clutter of spiders.
You know, these names are not, by and large, there's no scientific basis for these names. They're written by poets. You know, they're flowery language that have just sort of come into common acceptance. Boars is a singular of boars.
What? That seems fairly oxymoronic.
You'd think. Apparently, what some people think it comes from is the French word for boar is sanglier.
Oh!
Yep.
I thought that was a really beautiful poem. Like, boars don't travel, you know, with others, so it's a singular
you'll
boar.
Never
that's
walk
so
alone.
Sad.
That's yeah, right. A surfeit of skunks.
Surfeit.
Surfeit, yes, which means a surplus.
Because even one is too many.
Exactly. Yes. That's, no, I mean, that's what it is.
Wow, lots of great potential t-shirt ideas there.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
So, of course, a huge part of any trivia challenge is the music. And
people love the music.
People love the music. And I feel like we pride ourselves on our range and our depth of musical knowledge. So we've had some awesome musical challenges, including us being lucky enough to be introduced to our robotic friend, Elvis.
Yep.
The electronic lyric vocalization...
Interpretation interfacing.
System.
The electronic lyrical vocal interface system.
Yeah. Either way, it spells Elvis.
Yeah, either way, it spells Elvis, which is really all we cared about. So he is our intentionally low-tech computer voice, trying to share some love of music with people.
He does his best.
Yeah.
I want you guys to imagine if all of these opening lines for songs were read by a computerized AI voice.
Okay.
So I've put together a collection of songs here, opening lines of popular songs. So here, we'll start off with an easy one just to sort of calibrate here. So this popular 90s song.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry.
I believe that was Dana.
Creep.
Yes, it is Creep by Radiohead.
That's so scary.
I know. All right, so we'll try to get a little bit more complicated here, but you guys get the angle here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go, next one.
Dig, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
Dana.
When doves cry.
It is. Yeah. It is When Doves Cry by Prince.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
The sweat of your body covers me. All right, here we go. Here's the next one.
Look around. Everywhere you turn is heartache. It's everywhere that you go. You try everything you can to escape the pain of life that you know.
I believe that's Chris. He's running.
Vogue.
It is Vogue.
By Madonna. I really had to work through the whole thing to get to the chorus.
It is amazing. Like, in isolation, the lyrics seem so dark. Right. You're like, some goth song. I don't know.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's the next one.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best.
That was These Boots Are Made for
that
Walkers.
That was These Boots Are Made
by
for
Nancy Sinatra.
I like the way they did the phrase.
You've been messin' where you shouldn't have been
a messin'.
Yeah.
All right, last one here, and I hope this one will be easy.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins, so I'm out to cut the junkie. With the plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables. Dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose.
That was Dana.
It's Beck.
It is Loser by Beck, yes.
Start with Creep, end with Loser.
Ooh, I like that. Good job. That was so much fun
to
put together.
That was awesome. Right, time for my quiz. Guess what? Music Round is back.
Yeah! Yay. By popular demand.
And there is a theme, but you don't have to guess the theme because it will be fairly obvious by the second clip. And how this is going to work is I'm going to play 5 short clips of music, and you have to identify the artist who performed the songs.
All right.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
The name of the song is, of course, Papa Oo Mau Mau. It is.
Is it Surf and Bird?
Surf and Bird,
Oh, well, they combined. That's Surf and Bird combined 2 songs, right? There was a song called Papa Oo Mau Mau.
I think you're right. It was a reference to that. But either way, we're just stalling because none of us is...
none of us can think of, who's the artist of Surf and Bird?
Think of Peter Griffin.
I cannot remember.
It is The Trashmen.
The Trashmen.
That's perfect.
Such a one-hit wonder. Yeah. Good trivia song. The Trashmen.
But I would accept Peter Griffin as well. Family Guy.
All right.
Number 2. Guilty pleasure.
Isn't that Kid Rock?
Yes. Yeah. Right. My name is Kid. That is Ba with the Ba.
Of course. Oh.
Do our song clip number 3.
Thank you, Karen. It's Roy Orbison.
Yes. Song name?
Be distinctive.
Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby.
Yes. I think I know the theme.
Things you say when you're having a seizure.
Ba with the ba. 4th clip.
Ashley Simpson.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. We feel so embarrassed. I like that. Me too.
I saw, Dana intentionally delaying buzzing in so she could pretend like she was, let me think about it.
No, there's no shame.
Okay, and we have our 5th song.
I believe that is Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
Yes!
Man, I was thinking Manfred Mann, but I didn't know the name of the if that was the person or the band.
Wow.
Nice. I just, at some trivia contest years ago, that was one of those things where we missed it, and I'm like, all right, I am never missing this one again. And yeah, I just encoded it into my brain.
Because you know the song. But...
So, of course, the theme is...
Nonsense words or filler words. Yeah.
Got it. Ba with the ba.
Doobie doobie doo wah diddy.
La la.
And then we have these segments that are just undefinable and uncategorizable, and we can't lump them all together with any sort of theme whatsoever because they don't have anything to do with poop.
And there's poop related and there's no poop related.
Right.
Non-related poop.
Yeah, exactly. We've done, again, as you said, we've done hundreds upon hundreds of segments, and at least five of them don't have anything to do with the buttle region. So here's a mixed bag, a potpourri, if you will, of more fun moments from the past year of Good Job Brain.
A poopourri. Just kidding. So I made a quiz called Is It Belgium or Not Belgium?
Well, I mean, really, anything in the world can be put into one of those two categories. Right.
It's very logical.
Yeah. Okay, hold up one finger if you think it is Belgium, two fingers if you think it's not. I think buzzing in on a 50-50 guess quiz is
a lot. Crazy.
Yeah. Brussels sprouts. Are they from Belgium or not from Belgium? You all say no, they are.
Oh, we all overthought, yeah.
That was the easiest.
I thought that was too easy.
I'm glad that I chose this format. Otherwise, it would be a bloodbath, probably.
Brussels sprouts
are actually from Belgium.
From Brussels.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Belgium.
Oh, great.
Huh. I learn something new every day. It's good. The Holy Roman Empire was started here by Charlemagne. Belgium or not Belgium? You all say yes. The answer is no. It was Germany.
Oh. I'm trying to help you. You're
in our head now.
Belgium or not Belgium.
You are in our head.
Quiz, yeah.
I'm quadruple guessing myself now.
Yeah. It's like, is it a trick of a trick? And what if she thinks it's a trick?
Yeah. You could say the president of Belgium, and I would say not Belgium.
The most castles per square mile. Belgium or not Belgium? Karen says not. Colin says yes. Chris says yes.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was going to be like Ireland or Scotland. Or
On the board.
The coffee filter was invented here. Oh. Belgium, not Belgium.
Oh.
Karen says not.
I'm going to say not.
Chris.
I'm going to say Belgium.
Chris says yes. Colin says not. It is not. It's Germany.
It's always Germany.
I thought it was going to be Italy.
I was going to name this quiz Belgium, France, or Germany. That's a hint for you guys. Because they're all kind of near each other, and they have... There's crossover.
I like Belgium or not Belgium.
Yeah.
That's more of a pizzazz.
My reasoning on that one was it would be like a French press, so they wouldn't have a filter.
Mm.
The metric system.
Oh, dang. Oh. Dang.
Colin says yes.
I'm going to say yes. There's smart people
Karen
there.
Karen says yes.
Yes.
No, it was in France.
Where was the metric system?
France.
Oh, well, that makes sense,
because that's where the international standards for all the metric are kept.
Okay. But see, maybe the dude is from Belgium.
That's true.
Okay, well, how about this? The Communist Manifesto was written here.
Whoa.
Belgium, not Belgium. Colin says no.
I'm going to guess German.
Karen says yes.
Yeah. Belgium.
Yeah, it was.
Because
Karl Marx was in exile from Germany, and he went to Belgium.
Oh.
And he met Engels there. Here's one for Karen, though. Black, yellow, and red flag with horizontal stripes.
Germany's flag is horizontal stripes.
Yes. Do you know Belgium's flag?
It's the same, but vertical stripes.
Yes.
Oh.
That's the little trick.
A little tricky.
Yep. So Germany has the same color horizontal, Belgium same color vertical.
Oh, I like that.
Belgian waffles.
Not Belgium.
Yes, Belgium.
I say yes.
Yes.
Yes! Belgian waffles, actually from Belgium. Woo!
I don't know what the score is.
You don't know what the scores are.
I think it's almost tied for everybody.
Yay! Yay!
You guys equally suck at Belgian trivia.
We're all equally poor.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
For me, the action figure line that I was into, like you were into Star Wars, was He-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And this started up in 1981, and basically this all actually apparently came about. There's some disputes because Mattel was negotiating for the rights to make Conan the Barbarian figures.
Well, based on the movie.
But it fell through. They decided not to. And then, like, a year later, they do He-Man, very similar to Conan the Barbarian. I believe there was, in fact, there was legal action over this, and I think Mattel won because it wasn't, you know, materially substantially, because there was so much to the He-Man mythos that they kind of came up with. And they came up with the mythology for He-Man and all of the action figures really first as action figures. And what they did was they had mini comics that told stories about He-Man and Skeletor and Teela and Prince Adam and all this kind of stuff. And they inserted those mini comics into the action figure packages. So you got this little comic. And that's how it told you who these people were. Yeah, and what their origin stories were. Yeah.
The cartoon wasn't even made.
The cartoon wasn't even made yet. Now, eventually, in 1983, they started making the cartoon. And the cartoon, I mean, that cartoon was to sell action figures.
This
advertising.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yep. We introduce characters in the cartoon, and the kids like the characters, and then the action figure comes out later.
Oh.
Yeah.
So smart.
And one of the things with Masters of the Universe is that they, I mean, really to save money in the beginning, I mean, it was very much designed to save money in every way possible in terms of reusing molds and reusing body parts. Like, mm-hmm. He-Man and his arch nemesis, Skeletor, like, their torso is the same.
Yeah.
Their crotch is the same.
They have veins on their leg in the same spot.
Right. Well, their legs and their arms are different because they had bad guy arms that were like claws, and they had bad guy legs that had webbed feet, but then they'd use those same bad guy arms and legs, and the arms popped off the torso because they're literally assembling them at the factory, like pop, pop, just popping the arms on. You know?
And they would just be different
colors,
right?
The legs are attached with rubber bands. Yeah, they just painted in different colors. They had figures that were just, like, there was Beast Man, but then they came out with Moss Man, who was just Beast Man covered in, like, green flecked fabric. And they would just get away with the most crazy stuff. Like, there was Stinkor, who was a skunk, but he was just Merman, right? Painted black, and then they took Mechanek's red armor and painted it orange and put it on Stinkor, and I think they gave him a weapon that was a repaint of somebody else's. So they made this whole new figure.
The whole thing is just mix and match.
It's just mix and match out of old parts.
I noticed they were always the same size, but I didn't realize, it's because they're made from the same parts, just kind of hodgepodge together.
Right, everybody in this universe is exactly the same height.
You knew as a kid that they were doing that, you know? Yeah. That's how you start to get cynical as a kid. It's you buy a Masters of the Universe figure, and you're like, wait a gosh darn minute.
Yeah.
I was making hybrids, like you put the Skeletor arms on He-Man.
And actually, well, Stinkor, they put like a perfume on
him. I remember, he actually had an odor
like,
to him.
Oh, he smells like a skunk. He didn't. He smelled like a scratch and sniff snicker of
eggs.
Of dubious quality. No, it smelled good. No, it smelled good because as a kid, you just sit there and you know, huffing Stinkor.
Huffing Stinkor.
Yeah, because it smells like something.
The Chris Kohler memoirs. Huffing Stinkor.
So, Colin, you prepared a very special comics quiz for all of us and also for the listeners, but especially for Nicole and Josh.
Going out to you guys, Josh. All right, comic book quiz, and we're going to do this a little bit differently from a regular quiz. I've given you guys pads here. You're all going to write down your answer, and then we're going to score you guys as we go, and then there'll be a tiebreaker at the end.
Oh, wow, so, this is like real pub trivia.
I know with comic books this is always tough, of too hard, not hard enough. I think I've tried to get a good balance here of questions for you guys. All right, so remember, don't shout out or buzz in. You're going to write down your answers.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Specifically, what type of radiation was responsible for turning Dr. Bruce Banner into the Incredible Hulk? And in the comics, they always rendered this type of radiation as green.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ready? Answers? Dana says gamma. Chris says gamma. Karen says gamma. Correct.
Yeah!
Gamma radiation. That's right. In the Batman comics, what is the name of Gotham City's asylum for the criminally insane?
That's easy.
All right. Karen says Arkham. Dana says Arkham. Chris says Arkham. That is correct. Arkham Asylum for the criminally insane.
Thanks, video games.
Frequently home to the Joker. So even if you've never read a single issue of Batman, the name Arkham might sound familiar. So tell me, Arkham is inspired by the works of what 20th century author? And think about the kind of place it is, the atmosphere it has.
Oh my god.
All right. Answers up. Dana guessed George Orwell. Not a bad guess.
Oh.
Karen says Edgar Allan Poe. Not a bad guess. But Chris is correct with H.P. Lovecraft.
Darn it.
Yes.
I should have thought. Because the there was a board game called Arkham Horror.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the creator of Cthulhu mythology and all of it. Yes, which set a lot of his tales were set in the fictional town of Arkham, Massachusetts.
I'm so ashamed of myself. Oh.
In Iron Man's debut appearance in 1963... protagonist Tony Stark builds his armored suit while imprisoned in what foreign country? And I'm giving you the year there for a reason.
Say the year again.
1963. All right, answers up. Chris says Vietnam. Dana says Russia. Karen says Iran. Chris is correct. It is Vietnam. Yes, it was the Vietnam War. He was captured there. They did, in fact, later update it to the Gulf War, and the current story, I think, is Afghanistan, where it took place. Over the years, various superpowered animals have made their way into the Superman comic storylines. So I'm going to give you guys five super pets. Only one of them is fake. So you need to tell me which one of these is not real.
Okay.
Crypto the super dog, mm-hmm. Nova the super bear, Beppo the super monkey, Comet, the super horse, and Streaky, the super cat. All right, answers up. Karen says bear. Dana says Streaky, super cat. Chris says Nova, the super... It is Nova, the super bear, is made up.
What?
I invented that one. Yes, Streaky, the super cat is real. There were just some... some really off-the-wall storylines they had. And you can do your own Google research on these various animals.
You know, and also I was thinking, I was like, well, Superman's like super America, and Bear is such a Russian
That's what I was going for. I was trying to mislead you guys.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But
so he wouldn't have a pet bear because that's un-American at that time, at some point.
You guys saw through my ruse. All right. What mansion would you find at 1407 Gray Malkin Lane in Westchester, New York? 1407 Gray Malkin Lane. All right, answers up. Karen says Wayne Manor. Chris says Wayne Mansion. Dana says X-Men House. Dana is correct. I will accept X-Men House.
X-Men House. Wayne Manor would be in Gotham City.
In Gotham City, that's right. I tried to give you the extra little clue there. Westchester.
Maybe.
He may be in the suburbs.
Yeah, he has a house in the Hamptons.
He's got a fast car. Right. But yes, I would have accepted Charles Xavier's house, Professor X's Academy for Gifted Youngsters, X-Men H Quarters.
Right.
X-Men House.
In this case.
X-Men House. Well done. Well done.
Right. Dean Johnson, the X-Men of X-Men House, are throwing another party. X-Men House!
Wonder Woman famously graced the cover of the first issue of what U.S. magazine in July 1972? July 1972.
In
1972. Okay. All right. Answers up. Dana says Ms. Magazine. Chris says Ms. Magazine. Karen says TV Guide. It is Ms. Magazine.
I've never even heard of that.
Gloria Steinem's famous feminist iconic magazine. So speaking of magazines, newspapers figure prominently in the storylines of both Spider-Man and Superman, because both Clark Kent and Peter Parker work at newspapers. We're going to start off here. For 1 point each, can you tell me the names of either or both of the newspapers in the Spider-Man and Superman worlds in Metropolis and New York City? Yes, all three of you have it correct. It is the Daily Planet in Superman and the Daily Bugle in Spider-Man.
Yes.
All right, so now don't get too happy with yourselves, because for one extra nerd point each, I need to know who are the editors-in-chief of the two newspapers.
J.K. Simmons was the actor in Spider-Man.
Yes, a fantastic performance by J.K. Simmons in the Spider-Man movies. Okay, we'll start with Dana, who has Perry White and Larry Rogers.
Oh, Perry White! That's all I forgot.
The two answers are Perry... Oh, and Chris has nothing and J. Jonah Jameson. Mm-hmm. So, yes, J. Jonah Jameson is the Daily Bugle editor-in-chief. Perry White is the editor-in-chief. Don't call me cheap! And Karen has put Hugh Jass and Hugh Cares. And I'm throwing all the points away. Chris does, in fact, win, for those of you who had money riding on the game. So well done.
All right, great. And that's our show, Best of 2012. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you guys can join us in 2013 for more Good Job Brain trivia and quiz show and just general kickassery. You can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And check out our sponsors, bonobos.com. And we'll see you guys next year.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Yay.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.